Hi, I'm Joe Feeks, editor of Pig Health Today, and with me is Dr. Lucina Galina. She is director of technical services for swine for Zoetis. Lucina, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Joe.
At the American Association of Swine Veterinarians conference, sometimes it's like looking at alphabet soup because we're talking about PRRS and PRDC and PCV and SIV. I don't see a lot of people talking about mycoplasma pneumonia. Is it still a big deal?
Yes, I think that most veterinarians do recognize that this is an important pathogen. But in our industry, we have had so many issues going on recently. Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, the PRRS virus always takes the center stage, and it grabs a lot of attention. But we have PEDV, causing a lot of problems in our industry. Mm-hmm. We have other emerging diseases like Seneca virus. So, the attention has been put to those other pathogens, but I think for the most part, veterinarians do recognize that Mycoplasma pneumoniae continues to cause pneumonia in swine herds today.
So it's still a major swine disease. What sort of economic impact is it having?
Well, there's been different estimates about the economic impact of the disease. And one of the most recent estimates indicate that when mycoplasma caused by Mycoplasma pneumoniae is present in your herd alone, it will cost about $1 per pig. But the problem is when you have other diseases present, like the PRRS virus and influenza virus, when you have a more complicated disease, then the cost goes up to $10 per pig. And that's a scenario that happens very often in our swine industry.
Why is mycoplasma so prevalent?
There are many reasons why mycoplasma is prevalent. Our industry has really done a lot of practices to improve control, and we have improved control. But there are different circumstances. One of them is that mycoplasmas are very smart, and they actually evade the immune system. Mm. So once the immune system recognizes this bacteria, then they are going to switch their pili. The pili is these receptors where they are going to attach to the respiratory tract. So once the immune system in the pig recognizes them, they will be switching it. So that's a problem. The other problem is that mycoplasmas impair the ability of the phagocytes, which are immune cells, mm-hmm. to properly take care of other bacteria. So they impair their function. But perhaps most importantly, mycoplasmas move around pigs very slowly. And then they can stay in the upper respiratory tract for a long period of time. Mm-hmm. And animals can be asymptomatic, so they don't have clinical signs, but they can be shedding to other pigs. So that is another contributor, the persistence of mycoplasmas just to stay a long time in a pig herd.
And I've read a lot of articles that have described mycoplasma as sort of the tipping point for respiratory infection, that you get mycoplasma, and so many pigs do, that it just opens up the floodgates for other respiratory infections.
Right. So mycoplasma alone can cause disease, but mycoplasmas have been shown, I mean, there are papers, scientific papers published, that they can potentiate or exacerbate other diseases, notably the PRRS virus.
Has mycoplasma changed? I mean, it's been around for a long time, and we've been fighting it with vaccines and I guess antibiotics as well, but has the bug itself changed?
Mycoplasmas have been with us, Mycoplasma pneumoniae has been with us for about 60 years. And if you look retrospectively, we could observe Mycoplasma pneumoniae disease in younger pigs, in pigs in the growth finishing stage. One of the things that we have accomplished by implementing vaccination, the way we introduce gills in a breeding herd using antibiotics, is to push it to later stages. So we have been able to move it to later stages in life, but not completely remove it from the swine populations.
Now, when you hear the word pneumonia, you think of seasonal changes and respiratory diseases and so forth. Is mycoplasma seasonal, or is it something that we see year-round?
Mycoplasmas are present year-round, and so far scientists haven't been shown that there is mycoplasmas will cause disease at specific times of the year because of host susceptibility. But what we do see a tendency, if you look at diagnostic lab records, we see a number of increased cases in the fall. But I actually believe that is because we know that in the fall, other diseases like PRRS virus and influenza virus are more predominant. Mm. So I think that what we're seeing is an effect that is related to the other diseases.
So what's the best way to go after mycoplasma? Is it you've got antibiotics, vaccines, a little of each? What do you recommend?
What we have learned is vaccination should not be used as an only tool for mycoplasma control. But vaccination is a very important tool for control, but mycoplasma hyoneumonia control requires a comprehensive approach. And that comprehensive approach actually starts with the way on how you introduce new animals, new gills, that are going to replace the breeding herd into the population. For example, Joe, if you have a mycoplasma hyoneumonia positive herd, and you are going to introduce gills that are negative to mycoplasma, that is a time bomb, because then you're bringing naive animals that are susceptible to disease, and then the disease will be perpetuated. So the first thing is that veterinarians have to match the status of the incoming gill to the status of the breeding herd. After that, you will have to manage the disease, and there are different things that you can do. It depends if you want to control the disease. You know, vaccination is an appropriate technique. Mm-hmm. You can also control other other viral diseases like PRRS and influenza that you know they are risk factors. Or you can decide to eliminate the disease. And if you do a disease elimination program, then you will have to do a proper introduction of gills, mass vaccination, so the whole herd gets vaccinated, and then mass medication, and then a series of testings so that you can make sure that you are removing the disease from the herd and then become negative. Once you become negative, then your incoming gills have to be negative as well. You have to match the health status from the incoming gill and the breeding herd.
I imagine that's very difficult to maintain.
It is difficult to maintain. It is possible to do. So it depends. If you are a swine producer that lives in the middle of Iowa, where you have a lot of swine herds around you, very close to you, we know that mycoplasmas can be actually transmitted via air. Then you may decide that for your specific situation, you don't want to do an elimination protocol because of your location. But if you are located in Tennessee or in Pennsylvania, where you know the volume of animals may not be as large as it is in Iowa, then you may want to consider that you know that you can do this and that you can remain negative. But elimination protocols are very successful, and many farms are able to get rid of mycoplasmas that way.
Now, I think you just answered part of my next question. I was going to ask, are there some types of farms, whether it be their location or their management style, that would be more susceptible to mycoplasma?
All farms are susceptible to mycoplasma, but the risk factors that we're talking about vary from farm to farm. So when the veterinarian is trying to make a decision whether this customer really should, on which strategy they should actually implement for control, they have to consider these risk factors. If the risk factors are high, then you might want to control the disease, maybe with vaccination and other techniques. But if the risk factors are low, if my risk of infection are low, if my biosecurity is high, then you can make the decision of eliminating the disease. Many herds, if you are multiplying animals, you are a farm that is a multiplier, you need to sell breeding stock that is negative. So they do have to, to eliminate the disease. But those breeding herds typically are located in high locations that have a high herd health status.
We've talked about the gilts and the sows. Let's spend just a little time on the grower pigs. Mm-hmm. What's the strategy there for managing mycoplasma?
Everything starts at the sow farm. So you have to think about the strategies, from where transmission is occurring. The pigs are born in the breeding herd, and they will spend there about 3 weeks of age, until they are weaned. Transmission occurs from mother to piglets. So we call that vertical transmission. Mm-hmm. The mothers will infect those little piglets in the first weeks of age. I think a lot of the transmission will occur about 10 days of age. And then when the pigs are weaned, many of them are already colonized. And it has been demonstrated that the higher the number of, the higher the prevalence of this colonization at weaning, the bigger the problems you're going to have in the finishing stage. So even though you will see this disease in the finishing stage, actually control has to start early on. So vaccinating at the sow farm is important to prepare those pigs, minimizing the opportunity of mycoplasma to be transmitted from mother to pig is another opportunity. So once you win those picks, you know, one of your key strategies is going to be vaccination. Some people vaccinate are winning, others vaccinate one more time to create a booster in the immune response. And then if you do have problems in the finishing stages, one of the most common strategies is to use antimicrobials that are specifically recommended for mycoplasma to be able to reduce the clinical signs of disease. Because the problem is that when you have clinical signs of coughing, the impact that you're going to have in production is basically the animals are not going to feel well, they are not going to eat well, mm-hmm. and their average daily gain and the feed conversion ratio, that is the amount of feed that they need to grow, is going to be increased. So as a result, you will have many more days for those pigs to get to market. And that comes to a cost for the producer.
Now, there's a lot of pressure on the industry to use antibiotics even more responsibly. They've got a good track record for doing that already, but you know, with the VFD and other new regulations, there's more pressure on the industry. What's the best approach with antibiotics when you're looking at mycoplasma? Are you looking at injectables, feed ingredients, mm-hmm. or both?
So when you're looking about treatment for mycoplasma and any other disease, veterinarians have to be judicious on the way they use antibiotics, and we are. But the recommendation here is that the best way to tackle mycoplasma chironimoniae problems in the finisher is, again, to start at the breeding herd. Now, if you do happen to have problems in the finisher, as veterinarians, we have an oath to protect the health of the pig. Mm-hmm. And if we're talking about a large population, there are products in the market that have an approval for mycoplasma chironimoniae, included, medications that can be given to the whole population, because we're dealing with hundreds of animals. So the veterinarian is the person that has to decide whether we need to implement that treatment there. If we are dealing with a few small number of animals, there are also drugs that can be injected and applied to individual animals as well. So the veterinarian has to make those decisions. We have drugs that are approved and that conform to the VFD regulations. But the bottom line is that for an efficient control, we have to use more comprehensive strategies that start at the breeding herd.
One final question. I mean, producers, in the interest of protecting their pigs, used to feed some antibiotics more routinely, whether they be chlortetracycline or some other respiratory type of medications. Now that we have the VFD, now that producers can't just add them at will, they have to go to the veterinarian and get the paperwork completed and yes. so forth. Is it possible that we might see a reemergence of some respiratory diseases in the finisher pigs?
Well, this is a situation that we have to monitor closely. We need to adjust to these regulations. We have to be monitoring the situation. We have some tools, and we have to be more committed to do the right thing for the industry, for the human population, but also for the animals.